Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin. Today, my guest is Tim Lucchese, a stay-at-home dad and director of Chase Love. Tim, thanks for hanging out with me.
Lindsay, how are you today?
I'm good. I said your name right? Lucchese?
You absolutely did. Yes. And most people don't. Even people who have known me for far longer than you have.
People look at Schlegel and get very nervous and ask if they can just kind of... There's a lot of trying to dodge it. And then I tell them it rhymes with bagel and everyone is put at ease.
Oh, that does make it easier. I end up explaining to people that it's spelled differently in Italy, which is of no help. That just complicates it more. And I offered my gym teacher in sophomore year of high school $1 if he could get it right. I did not have $1 on me, but I didn't have to pay him. He was never going to get it.
That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. So we are going to chat about JP2 and Theology of the Body today. And that is kind of the inspiration for your ministry. So can you tell us what Chaste Love is?
So Chaste Love is a ministry where we work to promote the dignity of every person and to help people heal from wounded relationships and develop healthy relationships. My wife and I, in our work, she as a high-risk OB nurse and me as a former youth minister, have seen a lot of people who are injured by spiritually injured, emotionally injured, whatever it may be, by unhealthy relationships, by not understanding their value, how to have a healthy relationship, how to exit an unhealthy relationship, whatever it may be. And so we developed this ministry to really try to communicate to people some of the more basic, but other more complicated and definitely some very practical ways of having healthy relationships and just what someone's value is, where it comes from, why they're so valuable, and to not compromise that value for the sake of something less. A lot of people don't realize how wonderful and amazing they are. So we do public speaking. We have a blog, a website. We do social media outreach. We just a wide variety of things on a variety of topics so that we can help people to understand that they really do matter.
That's beautiful. And I wish we didn't need that, but we really, really do. I think there is a lot of confusion about our identity and who we are. And I love tying that into relationships. I think often when I see either of those topics discussed, they're not tied together. You could talk about your identity as a child of God for days, and you could talk about good relationships for days, but drawing the two of them together, really, the one illuminates the other. And I love that.
Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, you mentioned Theology of the Body, which is a large part of what we have based this ministry on. Essentially, John Paul II's Theology of the Body, or what's more properly known as Man and Woman, He Created Them. So if you ever want to look up the actual text, it's called Man and Woman, He Created Them. Beautiful. But John Paul II's Theology of the Body essentially says, here's how the body, what we can see, what is visible, here's how the visible body reveals the invisible truth of God. And a lot of times we really separate God and body. We say, well, we have the spiritual and we have the physical, but we don't put those together. Yes. But to take a line out of the wonderfully great and well-known Christopher West, who, if you ever want Theology of the Body stuff, he is one of the people you want to read. But he had a fantastic line where he said, if the body is evil, then the incarnation, Christ becoming man, then the incarnation is blasphemy and Christianity is a lie. And so the body in and of itself can't be evil based on our belief as Christians that God became one of us. So that just, I think, puts it in a whole different perspective as opposed to soul good, body bad, which is not true, especially since God made the body. God made our bodies, which means that they are inherently good. But like any good thing, can be used for in bad ways, in evil ways, in unhealthy ways. And so it's really helpful for us to understand those sorts of ideas, those sorts of foundational concepts, so that we can understand where we come from and that what we do with our body matters. Because if God gave me my body, if I am not just a soul in a body, but I am my soul and my body, then what I do with my body, it matters.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And our culture does set these two things apart. When we do, before we started recording, we were talking about pre-Cana. My husband and I have started, I guess maybe a year or two ago, we started teaching some pre-Cana classes, and it's kind of becoming more frequent. So we're thinking about these talks that we give more frequently. And John will talk about, you know, like the comparison between the analogy between a marriage and the Trinity and the Father and the Son's love, the Holy Spirit is created of that. I'm not sure if I'm using exactly the right theological terms, but you're right that we separate body and soul and we think that one thing, we compartmentalize them, right? But God made them both and he gave them both to us. I'm blanking on it now. I'm not going to get it quite right, but maybe you've heard this great quote by C.S. Lewis. I'm not a body with a soul. I'm a soul who has a body.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm trying to remember if that's the exact phrasing, but that's
plop it in the show notes at the end. But the idea that our soul and our body are so intimately connected, and so there needs to be some way to make sense of that. God wants us to connect those things. And oh, and when we talk pre-Cana, John will remind couples and maybe tell them this for the first time that your marriage is not recognized by the church until it's consummated. So like, this is not something that the church rejects in any way. It's just used within the correct bounds.
God invented sex. I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Right.
People, a lot of times in a more puritanical, restrictive mentality, think, oh, well, God just, sex kind of happened, and God was almost looking at it like, well, I'm not thrilled with that idea. Like, no, that's not it at all. Sex was created by God intentionally as a part of the design for humanity, for unity, for procreative needs, for all of these different aspects that God understands sex better than people do.
Right.
And when I was in high school, I remember a teacher of mine saying that one time he just walked up to us, some people were having an inappropriate conversation, and he just kind of leaned over and said, you know, none of your parents are virgins. And then he walked away. Now, this was a teacher who liked to stir the pot, but also to call us to holiness. And he did so in that way by saying, you know, stop thinking your generation invented sex. Okay. God invented sex. It's not new. And if it was bad, none of us would be here. In fact, saying that sex is bad, that procreation is bad, that marital unity is bad, I can't remember exactly which heresy it is, but it was a heresy that was dispelled by the church over 1,000 years ago, I believe. So, And you were very right with your analysis or your explanation of the Trinity is that, God the Father gives himself fully to God the Son, who gives himself back fully to God the Father, and the love between them is the Holy Spirit. So that's our understanding of the Trinity, or as I like to say, God the Father is me, God the Son is my wife, and somehow our children are the Holy Spirit. But that's not theologically accurate. It's just a fun little mirroring of trying to comprehend the incomprehensible within our human intellect.
Absolutely. All right. So let's dive into your quote. You have a quote from the 101st talk in the Theology of the Body series. So can you share that quote with us?
Absolutely. So in the Theology of the Body series, there are 129 talks. And in the 101st talk, which is titled Christ Opened Marriage to the Saving Action of God. There's a wonderful passage in there. But within that passage, there's a line that says he, and by he it's referring to God, he assigns as a duty to every man the dignity of every woman. And when I say he is referring to God, that's John Paul II referring actually to Christ speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And so he assigns as a duty to every man the dignity of every woman. And I absolutely love this. So I didn't even hear this quote until just a few years ago, just maybe 7, 8 years ago. And I was sitting around with some people preparing a retreat, and this young woman told me something her husband did. He was driving past, let's call it an adult venue with not enough modesty in the apparel. Let's call it that.
Sure.
And so he realized, well, this is a place where a lot of men are objectifying women. These men are there using women, even if it's only in their own minds, with their eyes, using them for their pleasure as objects. And that's wrong. So this man, this husband of hers, happened to be wearing a shirt with that quote on it. So he went somewhere, he made a bunch of copies of it with a copy machine, and he ran around and went to every car in the parking lot and put that quote under the windshield wipers of every single car, so that when these men exited the establishment, the first thing they would see when they got back to their car was a quote calling them to holiness, to uphold the dignity of every woman. And so just hearing not only the quote for the first time, but then hearing it in that context, I thought, oh my gosh, it is so important, not only in a culture that belittles and uses women and objectifies women, it's not only so important for men to work harder to uphold the dignity of women, but for men to call each other as brothers in Christ, to call each other to holiness, mm-hmm. and make sure that all men are upholding the dignity of women, not just those of us who already understand what's going on. So that's where that first struck me and why it was so powerful for me.
I love that. And I'm going to have the longer passage in the show notes. But later in the passage, it also says he also assigns to every woman the dignity of every man. So this is not, I think sometimes maybe people are looking at the faith from a distance, or who haven't delved deeply enough into it yet, can see some of the discussions that the church has on men and women as one-sided, or maybe some double standards. But this JP2 here is saying this goes both ways. He assigns to everyone, both to man and to woman, their own dignity, in a certain sense, the sacrum of the person. So this is super important, what you're right, that every man has a duty to the dignity of every woman, but it goes both ways.
100%. And so, yes. And
what would you say is, okay, the person listening to this podcast right now, what is the first thing we go do to uphold this? Like, what are some things that are everyday things we can do? I mean, going to establishments and spreading the word that way is one thing to do, but what is something that we can do in our everyday lives? Maybe something that's subtle, maybe something that doesn't scream, you know, I'm working at the dignity of every person, but something that's subtle and powerful. What have you seen in your work that you think really opens people's hearts and starts to change their minds?
Oh, it's a great question. So the very first thing we have to do is we have to understand our own value. So if you are struggling in any way with understanding your own value, start there and start mm-hmm. with understanding how God loves. I just told some people the other day who were struggling with Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I said, you can't understand Paul's letter to the Ephesians until you understand Genesis, because Paul understood mm-hmm. Genesis. And Genesis talks about God's love for us. And if we don't understand God's love for us, we're not going to be able to understand how we love, because all love comes from God and comes through God. It comes through us from God. But I would start with that. Start with working to understand your own dignity, because you need to understand your dignity before you can really understand that. But my father used to say, He was a lifeguard and a swim coach for many years. And he would say, you can't save someone else from drowning until you learn to swim yourself. So I would start with that. And after that, pray for people. Pray for people who you've never met. Develop a habit of hesitation. We live in a world where people don't respond, but we react. So we see something on social media, we see something, and we just immediately jump on it. Don't react. Take a breath. Take a moment and respond respectfully, reverently. Even the other day, I said something. It wasn't disrespectful to the dignity of a woman, but I said something on Twitter, and I thought, I don't like the way that I said this. I should be more respectful rather than, you know, speaking this way. So I deleted the tweet, and I sent a message to the guy, and I apologized because I should have taken a breath first. And so to do that. Also, one trick I learned recently, and this isn't something I struggle with, but a lot of people do, is looking at someone. If you find yourself looking at someone in an objectifying way, immediately stop and say a quick prayer in your head. God, thank you for beautiful women. Thank you for beautiful men. Thank you for, you know, if you're a woman struggling with her own insecurities and you see another woman who's beautiful, thank God immediately for other beautiful women. If you're a man, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter who you're seeing, but do that quick prayer and it'll redirect your heart back to God. So those are some ways that you have to really start with God, and you have to start with yourself before you can get to how you can uphold dignity of others. But really, it also continues with just simply hold back the inappropriate joke. We don't need them.
Right. Or if there's somebody, plenty of other, you know, funny stuff out there.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, if somebody you care about says something or does something inappropriate, call them out on it, because a friend calls out other friends. And if you don't like being called out by your friends, if you're going to cut your friendship off or whatever it may be, well, then you weren't really friends in the first place.
Right.
If you have somebody's best interest at heart, you're going to hold them accountable. And I also just, I've started the last several years, I go out of my way to affirm people whenever I can, because I know the strength of that affirmation. So these are just simple day-to-day things. And, crying out loud, if you're a single man out there and you're going to ask a woman on a date, use the word date. Okay, let's just get that out there right now. And oh my gosh, you don't say go out. Go out is what we say to my mom's dog when he needs to poop. Okay, just, you know, date. It'll solve a lot of problems in advance. But things like that, using words, avoiding euphemisms, just be direct, be honest. These things work to uphold the dignity of another person every single day. And they're small things we can all do.
Because, if we're not being direct, we're not using language like that, then maybe we're hiding or afraid of something, or we're not letting ourselves be everything that we were created to be. So let's stand up and be honest.
There's a huge fear of rejection and a huge fear of, what if I'm vulnerable? Well, what if you're vulnerable? Good things can happen. You also might get hurt. But if you never open yourself up, you're never going to be able to receive something as beautiful as the love of someone else. So you can either close yourself off or you can open yourself up. And frankly, the latter, it works out for everybody better.
Yep. And that's the way God loves us, right? Free, total, faithful, fruitful.
Absolutely.
I love that. We have to wrap it up, Tim. Thank you so much for that whole conversation, but especially those practical things at the end. Because I really think it's those little things. The first episode of this podcast, I talked about the quote from Lao Tzu, watch your thoughts, they become your words, watch your words, they become your actions, etc. And it gets to destiny. And really the things that we give our mental time and energy to, they lead us down a path, and that's where it starts. Where are we going to end up? It starts with the way that we're using our brain space. And you can choose to use it for good things, or you can let the temptations and things of this world guide you somewhere else. So thank you so much. We're going to have links to everything that you have going on in the social media world and your website on the show notes. So everyone, please check out chaselove.org. And follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Tim, thanks for so much for hanging out with me. This was amazing.
Lindsay, thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Cool. Listeners, to suggest a quote or a guest, please follow the show on Instagram, quoteme_podcast, or contact me at my website, lindsayschlegel.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review wherever you find your shows, and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.